This is ABC Radio, Brisbane and Queensland, with Catherine Feeney.
What happens when your child does the wrong thing? It could be something quite serious, like shoplifting. I mean, how do you handle that? What do you do? Is it your fault? Is it a reflection of you as a parent? Your council of elders are bound to have encountered such difficult instances at some point, either with children or grandchildren, and that's because your council of elders is drawn from the community, members of the community who have lived rich, varied, interesting lives. They're mature minds. They meet once a week to pick over some of the trickiest subjects that we encounter while walking through life on this mortal coil. And your councillors this afternoon are chairman of the Long Future Foundation and adjunct professor at the University of Queensland, David Hood. G'day, David.
G'day, Kat.
And former fruit shop entrepreneur and fashion-forward businesswoman, Wendy Maniatis. G'day, Wendy.
G'day.
G'day, mates. Let's get straight into this. Wendy, you're the parent of two grown sons. We hear from one of your boys on this station from time to time, Peter. So we can see that you've done a fairly fine job. But I am sure that you had moments with your boys where you had to really set them on the straight and narrow.
Plenty and several.
Tell me some of your stories, Wendy.
We found him smoking, Peter this is, when he was about 12. So my husband decided to get the $20 note that he'd worked really hard to earn over the last, 3 years. And so he put a cigarette to the bottom of it and he said, "Mate, this is what cigarette smoking will do," and proceeded to, effectively burn the note. He didn't. But that got through.
So, okay.
Yes.
So a really strong visual demonstration of the consequences.
Yes.
You'd been speaking with him, I suppose, in the household anyway about not smoking, and he knew he was doing something that wasn't going to go down well with Mum and Dad.
Oh, of course he did. I think he did it because he thought it wouldn't go down well with Mum and Dad.
Yes. And this is what I think. So I have a 3.5-year-old, and I now can see this beginning of what I expect is going to be the reality of my life, where they're deliberately testing boundaries.
Oh, constantly. And Peter's, he's 40 next year. He's still testing boundaries.
Oh,
absolutely.
Boy. You've lived to tell the tale. What about you, David? set the scene for me. Tell me a story that you encountered.
Okay, the story that I really love is my son. In the ACT, you're allowed to grow 5 marijuana plants.
Okay.
Legally.
Yeah.
And he was often experimenting with this. Like, I'd go out hosing the garden, I'd see little glints of sunlight underneath some of the shrubs. And I went in there, and there's all of our preserving jars over the top of these little plants. I took them out, and that's marijuana. But the story that I love is I was wandering down the hall in our home, and I could look into the room that I never go in because the clothes on the floor and the stink is just too bad. So I looked in there, and round the wardrobe, I could see light. So I said, "Oh, something's happening here." And I walked in and opened it up, and there was this incredible hydroponic system in the wardrobe. That's why the clothes were all on the floor, I suppose. And I looked at it and thought, "My God." So I said, "I'll wait up until he comes home from the party," as I did. And he came in at about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I said, "Andrew, I need to talk with you." "Oh, what's up, Dad?" "I was in your bedroom earlier, and I noticed something." "Oh, God," he said, "you discovered it, have you?" I said, "Yeah, but I'm not too upset about that. What I'm really upset about, Andrew, is you're the son of an engineer and you've got incandescent lamps over those plants. Don't you know that they need ultraviolet light? You know, son of an engineer doesn't understand that. You need fluorescent lamps up there, not incandescent lights." Off to bed. It was all gone the next day.
Wow. Okay. Two very different strategies there, but I'm guessing equally as effective. And this is the other thing that we need to remember with parenting. Often it's quite individual and every family is slightly different. You have different needs as a family. And we're going to take your calls in just a moment. You can call to join the conversation on 1300 222 612. This is our Council of Elders. You're joined by David Hood, Wendy Maniatis. Wendy, you and your family were using a strategy. How would you describe it? One that involved a visual lesson.
Definitely.
You want to smoke? This is burning your money. We're going to burn your money.
Definitely.
And David, you used a sort of a sense of humour around your situation. And I can see that it was effective. Do you think, though, you run risks in making too light of a situation, David?
I don't think so. The other story I wanted to sort of share with you was I was in New York on business and Laura rang me and said, I'm warning you that when you come home, our eldest son, Andrew, is going to point an earring. He's put an earring in his ear.
Oh, we've been through that too.
Oh, and right. Said, okay.
And she said, now, don't get angry. You know, you must play this very carefully. So when I finally got home and I'm sitting down having dinner and Andrew's talking to me with this particular ear pointing at me all the time.
Oh, making a point.
Making it obvious. And I just ignored it completely and totally.
Right.
And he went off. The next day, the earring was gone. So,
you didn't give him the satisfaction that he...
No.
Okay.
Just ignored it totally.
Right.
And he didn't get the reaction he was hoping for.
Yeah.
And he took it out.
And Wendy, was that sort of underlying what your approach was with regards to Pete, your son, and the smoking, that you didn't give him the reaction that he was maybe expecting? Because you think he was doing it deliberately to kind of piss you off.
I get that feeling, yes, yes, yeah. Absolutely. But, you know, we did have other instances. For, you know, he was in a park one day and he got a texter and wrote on one of the... Well, we call it graffiti.
Yes.
It was just a small amount, but we thought, nip this in the bud. So we decided to take him up to the local police station and have a little interview with the local policeman, who we knew very well.
Oh,
so we're up there, and we said, okay, come in and see Inspect. He was in charge of homicide, actually. So we introduced our son, and we said, now, talk to Peter about, you know, what happens to boys who do the wrong thing. And he said, well, mate, they grow up and become policemen, son.
So, right.
So that went way out the window.
How about that? Well, I mean, how do you teach your children right from wrong? That's the focus of our conversation this afternoon on the Council of Elders here on ABC Radio Brisbane and Gold Coast. I'm Kat Feeney. You're joined by David Hood and Wendy Maniatis. They are your studio counsellors. Your first caller counsellor this afternoon is Josh in Carradale. G'day, counsellor.
Hi.
You have an approach for dealing with naughty children that you'd like to share. Tell me about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a father of young kids, still, I guess, find my way with it because it's always a bit of a journey.
Yes.
But I guess some of the things that I've picked up is to try and just take a second, remain calm and, you know, take a breath so that you're not reacting. You're dealing with it the right way. I find that often there's some underlying issues that are going on and often it's just that they want some attention. And often, you know, especially in today's society where we're so busy, all we really need to do is just to spend some quality time with them every day. Also, you know, try not to raise your voice. And I find that giving options is really helpful, especially for young kids, where you say, if you do this, then this will be the consequence. But if you do what I ask, then you won't have a consequence. So I find that to be good. And I think as well, saying the word consequence rather than specifically what it will give you time to think about what will actually be good, because
yes,
often my wife and I will mention what the consequence is and the other is thinking, no, I don't want that. That's going to affect me in this way, you know.
Yes.
You know, so it can be very difficult to manage. So I think being on the same page with your spouse is really good.
Oh, well said. Yeah. I think that's key, Josh.
Yeah, thanks. And I think as well, you know, it is, we know that smacking as well is, I guess, illegal in Canada and New Zealand. I think, I mean, we smack our kids, but we do it in a way which isn't reactive. I think if you're doing it straight away, it can be quite hard as well. And you know, I think it should be the kind of the last resort, but I think it should also be something that we have the freedom to do, because, I think that for young kids, sometimes there isn't any other deterrent, and I'd rather smack my kids than have them run across the road, for example. So I think, and often we'll do that where we explain what's happened, that they didn't follow what we asked, and then give them a smack and then give them a cuddle afterwards and say that we love them. So making sure that we do it the right way.
Josh, thank you very much for sharing. Josh in Carindale. We'll come to you, Diane, in Castledine in just a moment. Wendy, David, our studio counsellors, your reactions to Josh? When you were shaking your head at one point, Wendy.
Look, sometimes, and Josh had, you know, a brilliant point, and we've done that ourselves, you know, with small children. Sometimes I relate it to training horses, because I have 5 horses at home, and, you know, if you treat them like a 3-year-old, they understand. So if you treat them on their same level, you're halfway there. But sometimes when they're as bloody-minded and obstinate and testing the waters, as mine were.
Mm-hmm. In later years, sort of teenage adolescence?
No, no, little ones. Oh, as little they ones. Were little. Okay. And of course, my husband and I were very busy. Josh, again, you know, really touched on that. We had a seven-day shop, blah, blah, blah. And one day we were standing at a set of lights and Peter ran out into the road and he was about 3 years old. So I pulled him back in, I smacked his bottom, and then I explained to him later because I didn't want him to get run over.
But it's the actions and the words there.
Yes.
David, smacking, and especially when you were growing up, and was that something that was a factor in your household?
Oh, my God, I got the belt when I was growing up from my father.
The actual belt, not in a metaphorical sense.
No, I really got it across the backside. Mum would say, Dad was a traveller, and Mum would say, wait till your father gets home, you're getting a thrashing.
Yeah, we all got
and
that.
Occasionally I got the thrashing, but often Dad used to take us over behind the Indooroopilly Golf Club there and just sit down and have a talk with us, and he said, now when you go back, start crying and tell Mum what a thrashing you got. Yeah, but I am ashamed to say that I broke a wooden spoon on my eldest son's bottom.
Yeah,
he still has that broken wooden spoon, and he shows it to his daughters and he says, now look, this is what my dad used. He's never used it.
Wow.
It's a good threat to show that, how this broken wooden spoon
continues. That's a legacy. ABC Radio, Brisbane and Gold Coast, just after 2:30. You've joined the Council of Elders with David Hood and Wendy Matiatis. I'm Kat Feeney. Joining you as our second caller, Councillor, this afternoon is Diane in Castledine. G'day, Councillor.
Hello, Kat.
You have a tried and tested method.
I do, but good. Before I get into that, I have to say that I also broke a wooden spoon on my son's bottom many years ago, and he has never let me forget that.
I bet not.
My boy at the time would have been 5 or 6, and we were shopping at Coles, and I went through the checkout, and, you know, obviously all the lollies and things are at children's level, and we got out to the car, and he was very secretive with his hand, and I made him open it up, and there was a packet of Juicy Fruit chewing gum in there. Oh. So I put my groceries in the car, and I said, well, we need to return this. And we went back into Coles, and I asked for the store manager. And by this stage, he was just a quivering wreck, my little boy. And I said, and she arrived. She was just wonderful. And I said, oh, my son has something to tell you. And he explained that he'd stolen this chewing gum. And she was quite stern, and she said, well, normally I'd call the police. But if you can promise me you'll never do anything like this again, I'll let you go. And, of course, he promised. He turns 40 next year, and he's never forgotten that story and what happened to him, and he's a model citizen.
Wow. What a great response, though. I mean, that's so collaborative in a way, isn't it? This perfect stranger really helping you out. Yeah, that's brilliant.
Exactly. And, I mean, I could have. It was a packet of chewing gum. I could have said, oh, okay, just put it in your pocket and we'll worry about it, you know, don't do it again. But I thought, no, this is how you've got to learn.
It's what do they call it in the contemporary parlance? A teaching moment, teaching experience, something like that. Excellent. Thank you so much, Diane, for your call. 1-300-222-612. How did you teach your children right from wrong? That's the subject of our discussion at the Council of Elders this afternoon. Let's see if we can bring in Diane in Woodford. Diane, what's been your approach?
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. My approach...
Oh, Elizabeth, pardon me. Did I call you Diane?
Yeah, it is.
There's the jet lag. I knew it would kick in at some point. Many apologies to you. Elizabeth in Woodford. Pardon me. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I can relate to the two people talking about the wooden spoon. I don't remember breaking a wooden spoon on my children, but I used to rattle the second drawer in the kitchen that had the wooden spoon in it.
Ah.
And that was sort of that was a bit of a threat. But years later, my daughters, you know, they've grown into adults now, and they said, Mum, that used to scare us so much. And, you know, I didn't realise how much intimidation I was sort of using in just sort of, you know, rattling that drawer sort of thing.
Mm.
And, you know, they really felt a lot of fear, they said.
Would you do it differently if you had your time again?
Absolutely. I would absolutely do it. And I think even from my own experience as a child, when I was in grade one at school and I stole some crayons from the desk of a little boy in another classroom, and my sister found them in my bag. My mum took them up to the school the next day and took them to the infant mistress. And she came to my classroom, and I was pulled out of the classroom, and really in front of two classrooms of children, I was really humiliated about what I'd done. And that was definitely the wrong way to, you know, deal with that situation. Because years later, I was in my 50s, I'm in my 50s now, but I was having to deal with some trauma, and that came up into the trauma.
Wow.
And, you know, like it was, it's surprising, like these little things, you know, and she just spoke to me, but she was in such, this infant mistress was so scary and forceful that, you know, I remember just dropping on the floor to my knees sort of thing, in fear. And so I could relate to my daughters when they said, "Mum, that was really scary when you do that."
Wow.
And I go, really, I was doing the same thing, really, that the infant mistress was doing to me. So,
yeah, that's powerful, Elizabeth. And it's really, thank you for your call, prompting me to recall a lot of similar experiences in my own childhood. And I think, as I said sort of at the outset of this hour, I remember the first time I did do something wrong only because I remember the punishment. I don't actually remember what I did wrong. And the punishment was a big smack across the bottom. And I remember Mum was really upset by it. I don't think she agreed with what Dad had done. And so I think probably that fueled the situation, and there was tension in the house, and it just was not pleasant on any account.
Not a good feeling.
Yeah, but this idea that I remembered the punishment and not the crime, so to speak. And so did I learn a lesson about not doing the wrong thing if I can't really remember what the thing was that I did wrong? Mm. I just remember that I got smacked for it, which brings up all sorts of other feelings. David, what do you think in response to what Elizabeth said with us?
Well, I was just thinking about how you reward them when they do something good, which is the sort of the opposite side of this.
Oh, yeah.
And I think things must have worked well, because Cameron, who is our youngest boy, came home from a party one night, and we said, "How did it go?" And he said, "Oh, it was a great party, Dad." And I said, "How much did you drink?" And he said, "Nothing." And I said, "Are you sure?" And he pulled out a certificate from the police, signed.
Oh, wow.
And he said, "Look, no alcohol, zero." And I said, "Wow, how did you get that?" He said, "I had to go around the block three times before they pulled me over and tested me." But he wanted to prove that he hadn't been drinking.
Yeah.
So I got out a bottle of red wine, and Laura and I sat down and had a drink with him.
Okay.
Just to congratulate him and say, "Well, you can now enjoy a drink at home with us, you know."
And see, that's the reward.
That's
the
reward.
The sense of pride that he would have within himself that helps him maybe make those decisions that you want them to make, the right decisions. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I want to take one more call. We're almost completely out of time, but I think we can squeeze in Ron in Brighton. Councillor Ron, good afternoon. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. I'm a primary school teacher, and one of my colleagues was having some issues with her too after school, and, you know, you do the right thing, we're going to get takeaway. And, of course, as you were saying, testing, she drove into the establishment, ordered one burger, one fries and one thick shake, pulled around the corner of the park and ate it. And they said, "She said, 'I told you, you don't behave, you don't get it.' Well, they were out of the car, and she just sat there and ate her burger and her chips and her thick shake. And said, 'Come on, we're going to go home now. We're going to make something for dinner. What do you want to have for dinner?' And they had baked beans on toast or something. But yes, I thought it was absolutely brilliant.
Wow.
Well, I don't see why I should suffer because
yes.
you didn't do the right thing.
Yes.
You know, this isn't punishment. This is just, I did the right thing. I get the reward, you didn't." And the look on, she said, look on their faces when she looked back in the mirror, and they thought, "Oh, yeah, see, she folded. We're going in there.
We're getting takeaway. This is great. I'm going to have chocolate and then nothing. Nothing but baked beans on toast." That's perfect, Ron. Thank you. I'm glad you shared that, because that's a nice note to kind of wrap things up on. And this brings us back to the idea that you've got to be maybe creative in your approach. Wendy, you guys certainly were, I think, on the instance that you spoke about with Peter, who started smoking before, and obviously you never wanted him to smoke, but he shouldn't have been smoking, and you chose to sort of almost light on fire some money in front of his eyes to visually demonstrate. But you also said you and your husband had to work hard to communicate with each other in regards to your approach. And
yes,
I think communication is really the heart of what we're talking about here, isn't it? Mm. You're trying to communicate as a family, set standards and expectations about what is and what is not acceptable.
And I think that's a discussion you should have.
Definitely.
Between spouses, yes.
Yeah.
And, of course, my husband being from a Greek background and upbringing, and me being G'day Aussie, we obviously had some points of difference.
Okay.
Yeah, so we needed to nut that out, and I think we've done pretty well.
I'd think so too. Thanks to Barbara in Mitchelton who called through. We couldn't take your whole call, Barbara. Thank you for calling though, but she just wanted to say that in order to teach children to follow rules, you have to live them, which is brilliant. Role modelling, I think,
set
is
by
key. Yes, and another wonderful Wendy in Brisbane. Once stole some radishes 62 years ago. 30 years later, she saw the lady from the shop at a funeral and she remembered. Wow. So there are long-term consequences
exactly.
for these actions. Mm. And it's hard to realise that when you're young, and isn't that the point? Your kids necessarily don't get that they are going to be around forever, that something might come back to haunt them. They're not thinking, you know, in those longer terms. But you've got to get that lesson in early so that they don't make mistakes too young that will haunt them. Some wise words to leave us on this afternoon, Councillor David Hood.
I was just thinking about what you said, Wendy, a minute ago about your parents discussing things. And Laura and I always chatted about how you bring up the children, what rewards you give them. But the problem we had was with our parents, my parents and Laura's parents, who disagreed totally with the way we were bringing our children up. Because they used the belt and the hit over the head with the slipper and things like that. So there was a lot of discussions with our parents about how we were bringing up our children.
Yeah.
So I think we did the right thing. You know?
Well, and that's all you can do is your best.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, all you can do is your best. Wise words from you, Wendy Maniatis.
Look, we've always lived by the punishments should never outweigh the love. And you know what? I think it's the best way to bring up children. So long as they know they're loved, if you've got to punish them, they'll forgive you.
Thank you. Indeed, we'll leave it there. Councillor Wendy Maniatis and Councillor David Hood, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you,
this
Catherine.
Afternoon.
Pleasure, Kat.
Catherine Feeney on ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland.